Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast, where we'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way, we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 39, Telematics and Your Car, Friend or Foe. I guess the first thing to talk about is, what is telematics? And don't feel bad if you haven't heard that term or don't know what it is. It's a relatively new term. But basically, telematics is a method of communication and data transfer from your car to either another car, or possibly car to business, or car to infrastructure. There's a number of different ways that can happen. Actually, technically, there's what's called V2V, which is vehicle to vehicle. There's V2B, which is vehicle to business. And there's also vehicle to infrastructure. So a person could say, well, what's the whole point here? What's the benefits to this? It's basically, there's a number of different benefits on a number of different areas of discussion, really. One would be certainly the initial reason for telematics was that it enables the car to be able to communicate with either the manufacturer, the car manufacturer, or potentially the dealership. And this is one of your choice, assuming that when you buy the car new, that you, part of the paperwork is that you pick the dealership you're going to be bringing the car to. So what happens is when, something like your service engine soon light comes on, or possibly even before it comes on, or if the car is coming up due for maintenance, the idea being is that the car will communicate this, its needs, or whatever the issues are, with the manufacturer or the dealer, and that way the dealer knows about it. Potentially, in a perfect world, they could even actually, supposedly, be able to find out what's wrong with the car, possibly order parts ahead of time, contact you via email or text of when can you bring the car in to set up an appointment, and the parts would already be there. So the idea being is that this expedites the entire diagnostic repair process. That would happen in a perfect world, okay? This is assuming that the car is programmed and engineered to where it can realize when a certain fault code comes up, that it knows all of the possible reasons why that may happen, and based on a process of deduction and looking at the different parameters, that it can figure out on its own, this is what's wrong with the car, and go ahead and the dealership would order parts for it, and so on and so forth. Okay, it sounds real neat. Whether or not it's going to actually work that way is debatable. Okay, because there are things that can go wrong with the car, where It misdiagnoses itself, okay? So that would be vehicle to business, is what I just described. You can be rest assured, those of us in the independent world, independent repair world, we're certainly concerned with the idea that once that car goes out of warranty, you certainly, as the owner and driver of the vehicle, you should have the right to be able to choose where that information goes from that point on. I mean, I understand it going to the dealership or the manufacturer when the car is still under warranty, but once it's no longer under warranty and you as the owner of the car have the right to go wherever you want to as far as for your service and repair work, then that means that information should be able to go wherever you want it to as well, okay? Manufacturers don't think that way. As far as they're concerned, they built a car, it's their information, okay? So we do certainly, the independent repair world, we have our lobbyists and people that are in Washington, D.C., as well as in the different state capitals. And we certainly are trying to look out, for your interests as well as the repair shop industry's interests. Because if that information can somehow solely only go to the car manufacturer and or its dealer network, then basically they're essentially locking out the possibility of independent repair shops to be able to work on the car, okay? Because it means we wouldn't have that information, okay? So it becomes an antitrust monopoly type situation. So that's vehicle to business. Vehicle to vehicle is where literally, as cars, as telematics becomes more prevalent and cars are able to communicate with one another in a, you know, short distance type thing, whether it be, you know, several hundred feet, a mile or so, it's not going to be a real long distance. But the idea being is that, you know, if there's traffic congestion up ahead or there's an accident, each of the vehicles, as they're coming up and slowing down, they will communicate, hey, we're slowing down here. There's something going on. And so the vehicles all operate to where they slow down on their own. And of course, this becomes, you know, more of a prevalent and necessary type of a thing as we start moving into autonomous or driverless cars. Even cars that have ADAS systems, advanced driver assistance systems, like Active Cruise, it would certainly be helpful for a car to know why it's, you know, that it should be slowing down on its own before it actually realizes, hey, the people up ahead are slowing down, so I guess we better too. Okay. It can look at, you know, if it's set up to communicate with the infrastructure, now we can start talking about where the vehicle will know that there's an accident ahead. It'll know there's a detour. It'll know that there's road work. It'll know that there's real bad weather ahead and maybe to take some alternate routes, so on and so forth. So this all, you know, sounds really neato. Like I say, it can definitely expedite the repair process and maintenance. It essentially keeps you better informed about your car, okay? You know, the idea, if we ever get to level 5 autonomy, which is a pure driverless car, in theory, especially with cars being able to communicate vehicle to vehicle, it means that there's better traffic flow. You can have more cars in less space because, again, the human being is out of the equation as far as actually driving the car. So in theory, the cars could be 2, 3, 4 feet apart from one another. And because they're talking to one another, you know, hopefully there's not going to be accidents and stuff like that to where, you know, like I say, you can actually pack more cars in less space. So in theory, it would actually increase traffic flow and potentially reduce, you know, stop and go and you know, having too many cars in the same area or on the same freeway at the same time. In theory, you'd have fewer accidents. But those things I'm talking about right there, that's all only going to work if all cars are basically level 5 autonomous cars. In other words, driverless, okay, at that level. But the other side of it is a person could say, wait a minute, all cars? Well, gosh, don't we have a right to choose what car we want to drive? Maybe we like our older car, okay? I know I certainly like my older car. I mean, I've got an 02 BMW 530i, and I have no intention of selling it or getting rid of it. I love my car, okay? It doesn't have any ADAS systems. You know, it's a 2002 model year car, okay? So as consumers and owners of things, don't we have a right to choose what we're going to own and drive? So the question becomes, you know, are we ever going to get to totally autonomous cars to where there literally are no older cars on the road? I don't know. I think if you're certainly given a choice, people are going to drive and own what they want to. I mean, this is why you still see Model A's and Model T's running around and the 60s and 70 power cars. And the old, you know, collectible type cars that are valuable, those are all potentially being driven, you know, today. And I would imagine they're going to be driven in the future. I mean, the only way that the government is going to be able to step in and try to force the issue as far as people not driving those kinds of cars anymore, the only way they're going to be able to do it is through cost that I can think of. I can't see that they would ever actually try to outlaw and say, well, that car can't be on the road anymore. Okay. I could see where they could try do it through registration fees to where they just become astronomical. You know, that's certainly a possibility. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, those benefits I just mentioned are not really going to work completely, totally, until we get to fully autonomous cars. And that's what everybody's using. So the downside to all this is who owns the information, okay? Right now, the manufacturers think they do, okay? I mean, like I mentioned before, the independent repair shop associations and businesses are, you know, right now fighting for our right and your right to be able to have access to that information when the car goes out of warranty. And the thing that becomes really crazy is, as it is right now, if your car is communicating to other, you know, entities, whether it be the manufacturer or whatever, when you plug in anything into your car, whether it's your, you know, Bluetooth smartphone or anything you plug into your car that you're using it, whether it be for infotainment or whatever, if there's data in there, all of that data is going over the air to whoever's receiving it. And if the car is under warranty, it's the manufacturer. Okay. So potentially all of your contact lists, your emails, everything you buy, everything you do with your smartphone is all being transmitted to the manufacturer. Okay. So they have stated that as far as they're concerned, they own that information. Okay. So what happens over time is that you and your car's life become an open book to the highest bidder, okay? It all comes down to what does the contract say when you bought that car? Because I'd be willing to place a wager on that somewhere within that contract there's talk about that the car has telematics and that this information is being, you know, retrieved, possibly shared, and, you know, potentially bought and sold, okay? They have figured out that as we move forward with this, that the information, the future data that will come from your car as you own it, okay, especially over the life of the total life of the car, the value of that data will provide them more profit than what they make off of when they sell the car, okay? We're talking about billions of dollars of your life as information being sent out, bought and sold to the highest bidder. Okay. So, you know, be aware of it. There's good things about it. There's things in my mind that are not right. You know, personally, I think there's major privacy issues. I mean, even today as it is right now, there's major privacy issues, but that's me. I mean, I'll talk to anybody and we can have a discussion about whatever. And if I want to divulge something about my private life, that's up to me. Okay. But I'm not going to go around, you know, where someone can see everything I buy and so on and so forth. And I've mentioned it before in other podcasts, but the way that I'm able to do that, one of the ways is that I choose not to own a cell phone. Okay. So, but that's my choice. Okay. So I, you know, that's not the only reason why I don't have one. I just don't feel in my life, I don't feel a need for one. But, you know, obviously people for the sake of convenience, it's amazing, what people are willing to give away or, you know, sign their life away, so to speak, in regards to privacy and information concerns. And you can be rest assured there are definitely businesses and entities out there that are more than happy to pay for that information and use it for their advantage, whether it be to market to you or advertise to you or whatever the case may be. So, you know, think about it, be aware of it. You know, telematics is here. It's going to become more prevalent. I just wanted to do this podcast to let you know what it is. There's still a lot of repair shops and technicians and shop owners that don't even really know about it. So, but it is certainly being talked about in our industry, and it's going to become more prevalent as time goes by. And, you know, again, there are advantages to it. It can be kind of a neat thing, but just realize that when you sign on the dotted line, what it is you're doing, okay? And certainly if it becomes the possibility where you can, you know, opt out of different information items, that then hopefully that becomes up to you whether you want to do that or not. The biggest thing that should be there is that you should have a choice. You should have a choice once that car goes out of warranty, to be able to decide who do you want this information to go to. Okay, you should have that choice. So just wanted to make you aware of it. I hope this has been interesting for you and enlightening. I appreciate your time listening, and hopefully you found out a few things. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at bkpodcast5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn for those people that are on that. I hope you learned some things. I appreciate your time. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic week. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.